Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's murder!
What's up, Chris?
Oh, I'm here to just walk in.
Wow.
Sounds like we're having all sorts of issues here.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, let's go with it. It's good. How you doing, Pete?
I don't know.
I know. I'm getting a little stressy over here today.
We tried to do the video with the GoPro. That didn't work out. Some issues.
Didn't want to fucking...
Had a few little minor things. But you know what? It's fucking Murder Metal Mayhem. We don't give a fuck. We're just going to forge the fuck on.
Fucking right we are.
We got Joey Cashman in here tonight, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah. What's going on, Joey?
Not much. I didn't lose my contact or my teeth, so...
fucking motherfucker.
Or your fingers.
Or my fingers. Yeah.
Some of these fingers are around his neck. I don't know what's up with that. Somebody trying to steal something.
Right? Yeah. Don't take my shit. I'll cut your fuse off.
So, yeah, we got Cashman here bringing some Goremonger loving with him. So, that's going to be awesome. We're going to be doing, we talked about having you play in the gray room here tonight, but we had, as part of our audio/video drama ensemble, we're not going to do that tonight, but we're going to do it this week, and we're going to play it
done
next
Sunday
week.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
If you guys were waiting to hear some live Goremonger and to see Joey, we'll do that next week. We apologize. But Joey's here tonight. He's going to be hanging out, talking about some crazy shit. It's going to be a good time. So
absolutely.
I'm glad to see you here, Joey. Episode 44 was kick-ass, man.
Man from the train out killing everybody. Fucking families, man.
And I'm going to tell you, I consider myself an aficionado in the true crime.
Yeah.
I had not heard of him or that story. I was very surprised because there's a lot of drifter killers.
Right.
So at first I thought that I knew who you were talking about, and then whenever you talked about the time period, I was like, nope, don't know it. So yeah, thank you guys for giving me a fresh, you know.
No, that's always knowledge. a good thing. If I wouldn't have read that book, I wouldn't have known about him either.
Yeah.
So it's a very exclusive type thing about that specific story in that book, but it's good, and it was good to talk, like we said, drifter killers to me. It's really fucking crazy.
Yeah, they are.
We talked about our boy Henry Lee that we're going to be doing here coming up soon. So
an old Eileen.
That'll be good. And I did really like doing that and sharing a new story, and it was good to talk about New York hardcore with CK and some hilarious mayhem stories that we were spinning last
week. That shit
week.
Was funny, dude.
You got some good ones this week, too, Joey?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fucker. Lenny fucking all not doing anything you fucking
oh,
said.
Oh, damn.
God damn
what
it,
what a
dude.
Fucking idiot.
You could write a book on his exploits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dumb drummer stories with him is like Lenny 101.
Right?
Fucking idiot. But this week we got Joey because he was the one that suggested we do the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
And right.
When you sent me that link, I'm like,
what the fuck?
Like you were with the man from the train. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I've never heard of this shit. You know?
Hell yeah.
Now, and granted, it's just got a funny sound, you know, the Mad Gasser.
Yeah,
just,
and granted, there's no death or anything, but the story's just insane.
It is.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. So totally digging it.
It's pretty much like a full case of mayhem. Yeah, more than murder, but
very much so. That's true. And since you lived in Mattoon for a while, we thought it was awesome and that you brought it up, and then we're doing it, and so we had to bring you in.
For
like
sure.
You said, you know, whenever you were like researching a little bit, you found more than what you kind of expected to. And so like whenever I moved here from Connecticut to Illinois, I'm reading a book. And I saw the story about that, and all of a sudden I'm living in this town, so I never would have known either. And then, you know, then I hear from everybody's parents growing up there.
Oh, sure.
But at first it was like, I'm reading this story about something at the place I just moved to. Like,
yeah,
what the hell is going on?
That's like when I moved here and the Hendrix shit was going on.
Yeah.
And I went to the grocery store. I'm like, what the fuck?
This happened.
I thought I left that shit. I came here to safe Midwest. And this motherfucker's chopping up
butchering
his kids.
Up his family and
took
shit.
Him to Chuck E. Cheese at least first.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know what you mean, though, about moving somewhere and having something fucked up like that. happening in the periphery. So that's good stuff. So that'll be awesome to talk about some Mad Gasser. And we got CK calling in live with Skype on some East Coast metal, some more of it.
He loves that East Coast metal.
He does. And we're going to the Garden State of New Jersey talking about thrash metal icons Overkill.
Because so. We don't care what you say. Fuck you.
Totally, man. Overkill's fucking old school as it gets, man. So they've been around for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
God damn.
Which is fucking unbelievable. So that's going to be really cool to talk about that. Their 19th album just dropped Friday. Yeah, The Wings God, of War.
That's a lot of fucking albums.
It is.
I know it's been 40 years, but that's fucking album what?
Every couple of years.
Yeah, like for sure.
Yeah, it's impressive. Impressive to say the least. They're on Nuclear Blast now, but it's an amazing album. Stoked to talk about them with CK, who's of course going to lay down some metal knowledge like always because he's the fucking man. Of course, we got CCK in here now. I don't know, you know, that could be an explanation of why we had some issues here.
He was
today.
All falling over when we got here.
We put, I put the plague mask on him because I thought I was protecting him from the Mad Gasser.
Of course.
And he had the mask on and we took pictures of him with the mask on. And then when we left and came back in, he, like you said, was doubled over.
He's sick anyway.
I think he didn't want that fucking mask on.
I don't
on,
think he wanted the mask on at all.
No. So I'm sorry, CCK, if you're mad by causing some trouble here, please stop. We'll make amends. I won't put a wig on you for a week or
give
so.
You a while. We'll let you rest.
I'll leave him alone.
I will say before I leave here tonight, I will take a selfie.
Oh, for sure. You got to, man. How can you not, man?
This is my first time in the Murderwell Mayhem Horns High Studios.
What do you think, dude?
And yeah, this is really, really awesome. I know anybody else that's like listened to the cast regularly, they've been seeing it probably the same way I have, but to actually be sitting here in the places.
Right.
It's pretty fucking cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
dude.
It turned out awesome.
Yeah.
Just a collaborative effort, but I love the logo that you and Chris did, man. That is just so
hell yeah, dude. It looks so fucking sick on that banner.
Yeah,
too.
It looks great. So the whole thing is awesome, and
you're basically sitting in a work of art that's going to keep going. As, you
pretty
know.
Much,
yeah,
yeah.
It's really cool.
Because we added some new things, right, yeah. Chris? Got some new body parts.
Hi.
And then you've got a nice necklace there with little severed fingers on it.
It's some fucking goddamn Ed Gein shit going on in here.
It does. I was kind of bummed it
like
didn't have
said,
a nipple belt with it, though, you know?
Right? Yeah, like
as a matter of fact,
you
need
kill.
To try to find a nipple belt.
Oh, definitely.
That'd be cool
that
shit.
That would be really awesome.
I think Chris has one of these, but a real one with penises on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one tonight. We got a killer cage match coming up, a classic one with the serial killers. Last week we did the metal version, which was cool. This week, you know, I'm going to go back to the serial killers. We've got our Satan-loving Acid King, your buddy,
yeah,
Ricky Casso.
That's my homeboy right there,
say
man.
Say you love Satan, man. He's off the charts. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Hell yeah,
dude.
Dude.
So
dude's
funny.
So fucking nuts.
When we were reading all the shit that they took that night, it's like, what the fuck?
How are you
how are
even,
even alive?
How are you moving to kill this dude?
Right. Exactly. And he's going up against the sadistic former Marine Leonard Lake.
That's such a
another
good one.
Fucking crazy one. So that'll be a good match.
God damn it.
And we'll tell the objects later when we do it. But thanks to listeners Josh Ogden and Fred Arbuckle for providing the random numbers because we need that to make it work and get everybody involved. So it's good stuff. We'll do it in the Mayhem.
Yes, sir. As always.
Later. Big fuck yes to Maggie for providing the awesome pics of us
yeah,
in the studio. They came
turned
out
good,
incredible
dude.
With a fucking phone, man.
Right?
It's
some
not
of them
even
were
like a brand new.
Some of them from Adam did too, didn't
I
it?
Think there were a few from
yeah,
his
most
GoPro.
Of them were, yeah,
yeah.
But they,
but
either
most,
way, they fought, most of them were Maggie, and they turned out fucking.
They
awesome,
were really
man.
Good. And CK's wife Laura took some of him. I like the one with him by the train tracks.
Yeah, I do too, dude. It's fucking great. Some of the edits that Maggie did on that one, the one with the lightning in the background
yeah.
and shit, that's fucking looks so sick. Dude.
It does. It does. And we're going to incorporate that into some promotional stuff we're going to be working on for the podcast. So that'll be really awesome. So you could see the pics on Facebook, on our Facebook page, if you haven't seen them already. We're doing some video tonight, going to just be capturing another episode because we did it before. We were going to try to mess with this new GoPro I got, but we're having some issues, and rather than hold up the podcast, going back to the old Sony camera, but it works just fine. And so we've been putting video up on YouTube so you guys can check that shit out. And trying to keep improving things here and keep doing stuff.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, keeping it moving ahead. Also, thanks to Buzzsprout, which is our host for the podcast, for hooking me up with a really good deal to update the video editing software I use, Vegas Pro.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Killer fucking special. I was using Vegas 7, which was really outdated. Now I've got Vegas 16. So
7-16?
It's going to be a big step up with that. And just in time for the Murder Metal Mayhem commercials that we're going to start doing. That'll be out on YouTube. It's going to be cool. So I'm definitely stoked about that. So we've got a full plate here. We got Cashman outside in the studio with us. So this should be a good one. So what do you think we need to do?
I feel like huffing gas.
Huffing some gas.
Fuck it,
just
dude.
Breathe deep because he's pumping that shit in your bedroom window.
Fuck yeah.
Little mad gasser getting our gas on, I guess. Yeah.
Pile, baby.
A little putrid pile.
The Riff Master.
Circle,
right? No shit.
Fucking badass, that's for sure. We were reflecting on some fun times back in the day, jamming with him and Waco Jesus and when Chainsaw Homicide.
We're
just
all
good
together,
times.
Hanging
man.
Out, fuck yeah.
Definitely. Well, speaking of good times, we got a real hoot from the past here. The Mad Gasser of Mattoon. I just love that fucking name. It's just so fucking funny. Also known as, I thought these were kind of lame as
the
fuck.
The Anesthetic Prowler.
The Anesthetic Prowler and the Phantom Anesthetist. Like, who the fuck, like, in a meeting, that would have been like, dude, I can't even fucking pronounce it.
Yeah, right, that's
You're
real.
You're going to have a person on the news going, Anesthetist.
That's you know? Yeah.
Now, this was the 40s, though.
True, but those were so fucking lame.
Yeah.
I remember hearing the names of the Night Stalker back when he, the Ramirez. It was like, there was one like the screen door. It was like really lame. Yeah.
Why'd you call him that?
It was
no,
like
the Night
really
Stalker.
Dumb. Like it didn't last but a day. You know?
Right.
So they're just trying them and then they hit one, you know.
Everybody's
like,
that's
Stalker.
It.
Like, yeah. But of course, we know there was already a Night Stalker.
Now he's the Golden State. Yeah. But.
That's the Golden State, right. So he attacked, the Mad Gasser attacked citizens in the small town of Mattoon, Illinois in 1944. Over the course of a couple of weeks, he used some poisonous gas and a variety of effects terrorized the fuck out of these people in Mattoon at a time when the country was on edge. You know, World War II.
Yeah.
People were freaking the fuck out. Remember seeing the video of kids, you know, ducking under their desk and shit for like, you know, we
drills,
do tornado
drills. Yeah, they were doing bomb drills. Yeah. Fuck.
So they were nerved up, you know, so it was kind of a right time, I guess, for something like that. And actually, what I found interesting in researching this is he was not, that wasn't his first appearance.
Right, 10 years prior?
They think it could have been the same person, don't know. But in 1933, another round of attacks were eerily like the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
Right, they were pretty close to the fucking same fucking deal.
Yeah.
Window open, whatever, fucking guy.
Right. Yeah, people getting paralyzed and shit. So this was in the Roanoke, Virginia area. It lasted even longer. There were more attacks, more evidence. For some reason, though, not really as well known as the Mattoon.
Not sure why. It was only 10 years prior, but like media didn't stretch out as far and shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, which in 44 still didn't stretch out very far.
I'm sure that the Mad Gasser tale also carried on a little longer for the fact that people wrote about it.
Right.
There was literature from back then that people, you know, had passed on the lore where the one in Pennsylvania kind of, it happened, it was a scare, and then, like, nothing ever came of it until it was connected to this
one. Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that could be. I mean, that's very possible. For whatever reason, it kind of took fire in Mattoon versus the one in Roanoke, Virginia.
Maybe Madgasser of Mattoon sounds cooler than Madgasser of Roanoke.
For sure.
Right? No sure.
Mattoon, for those of you that aren't from around here, is a blue-collar town of about 18,000 people today. Located in central Illinois, but in 1944, the population was 15,000, so a little less.
Right.
And it's about 100 miles southeast of where we're doing this podcast, so not too far away. It is a town with the only Burger King restaurant that's not part of the food chain. I remember the first time I saw it.
They can't have a regular food chain Burger King within so many miles of that.
They were the first ones.
Yeah, before Burger King came out, they had Burger King.
So there is no Burger King, like you said, within a certain radius. But yeah, it's like this little mom and pop burger joint called Burger King.
It's fucking good, too. It's fucking good as shit.
I still stop there about every time I go.
Me too. Yeah, it's good stuff. So I thought that was kind of an interesting fact. They also now make Lender's Bagels. I don't know if they did in 1944, but they do now.
I don't know if, just because I didn't see it on here, but I'll bring it up real fast. Yeah. So every town has its thing. Hayworth Heydays, where we're sitting, right? Mm-hmm. Mattoon's is the Bagel Fest.
Oh, really?
Every year, the Mattoon Bagel Fest is what, and I mean,
that's their festival.
When I moved here, it was like, I'm living in Corn, and there's a Bagel Fest. Where right? the fuck am I living?
Like in Jersey or something, or Connecticut. Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, they make them there. And also, it borders the town Charleston, which is, of course, home to Eastern Illinois University, where Tony Romo played his college football days. So, you know, a few things just to kind of put things in perspective.
Jimmy John started in a garage in Charleston.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, a lot of bar food and fast food and pizza in Charleston because of the college. Yeah. And it's about 50 miles south of Urbana, where University of Illinois is. So, again, if you're not from around here, just kind of give you a heads up. Now, Joey, you grew up sometime in Mattoon. Now, you said you heard about this when you lived there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I moved there seventh grade year, like I said, from Connecticut. So total culture differential from what I was used to.
Oh, for sure.
But people will tell you stories. And to be honest, Mattoon is a creepy place anyway. And I can tell you lots of stories that are like of the paranormal or whatever that people tell you as you're growing up.
From the Mattoon area.
And so obviously the big one is the Madgasser story. So like I said, I was hearing about this, but you don't really know about it. And then, like I said, I had a book of, I think it was like Haunted America, something like that, short stories. And all of a sudden Mattoon was one of the stories. And I'm like, what in the world? So
yeah, that's fucked up.
But it was definitely, like I said, something that people readily talk about there and take, most of the people that I knew took it for fact.
Okay.
So I mean, that's one way to look at it. The old timers that had been there,
right,
they didn't look at it as a hysteria like most of the world probably considers it, you know.
Right.
As do I myself. I agree. I mean, when they tell you, they tell you, no, this happened.
Like, no, this is fucking real. It happened. Huh.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And, yeah, people get really, you know, very convinced. And that's part of that hysteria thing that we're going to touch on. Now, there were about two dozen separate cases of these incidents involving the Madgasser over a two-week period. Started in August of 1944. Now, the police were very skeptical about these reports, because the local cops, thought it was a hysteria thing.
Yeah, they didn't think anything was really going on.
Yeah, because they thought these people are, paranoid, overstressed about the war and paranoid.
Russia using chemical warfare and shit.
Going to drop bombs whoever. You know, so these people were scared. So that, that's what they attributed it to. Now, the first known description of the Madgasser came from Mr. and Mrs. Bert Kearney, and it is what most people used to describe and depict him over the years. They thought of to be a tall, thin man dressed in black and wearing a stocking cap.
I heard a bunch of stuff that I was listening to, other documents. They said a tight-fitting cap. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean, dude?
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured that's what they meant.
Stocking cap. Yeah, I was like, tight fitting cap.
I did see the tight fitting cap, though. Another eyewitness described the Mad Gasser as a woman. That was actually the last known description, dressed up like a man, while another person claimed that the gasser carried what is known as a flit gun, which a flit gun was used to spray pesticides and chemicals, but kind of, flit was the brand name of the chemical.
Like a pump sprayer, basically?
Pretty much, yeah. And used to kill flies and other insects from 1928 into the mid-50s. So, so kind of interesting, you know, like always with eyewitnesses, which is why they always say eyewitnesses not necessarily are the best because people see things differently or the lighting could have been weird. Thought you saw this, but it wasn't, you know.
I think when Kearney saw the dude, I think it was kind of dark out too. How can you get a good description if it's dark?
Right, because I think that was the guy that drove the cab and he was coming home.
Yeah, he was coming home from work.
So it would have been at like midnight or something. So, or late.
The characters that they've drawn of the Mad Gasser.
Yeah, with the gas mask.
Yeah. You know? That looks even more.
It does. It looks more ominous, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to say. You know how things get talked about and blown up. It could have been some little 5'5".
I mean, to be honest, it sounds like this could really be a good Hollywood movie.
Oh,
it,
sure.
They can't get a new idea for shit, but here's one sitting right here that would probably be great.
For sure, yeah. Almost a comic twist to it, too. So,
Horns High Studios Productions.
There you go. The Mad Gasser of Neptune. Now, one thing to note, prepare for some really fucked up names. Some of these people's names are kind of funny.
Yeah, they are.
It was the 40s. It was small town America, you know, the Midwest. But there's some good ones. So I just want to prepare everybody because I'm going to probably make fun of it a little bit.
What? Make fun of something? Nah.
I know that's so like out of character.
The first one here.
Now, on August 31st, this would have been the first one, Urban, which is a dude, Rafe, I guess how you would pronounce that?
Yeah, Rafe, yeah.
Awakened early in the morning with a strange odor. Sounds like maybe his wife was hotboxing him. I don't know. Or maybe Dutch oven. I don't know. I mean, brutal. You know?
She just got a goddamn blanket over his head, queefing and shit.
A muff oven.
A muff oven.
He was nauseous and weak and then began vomiting, so it must have been pretty rough, man. His wife was also feeling the effects, serves her fucking right, and what assumed was a gas attack, was unable to get up from bed and suffering from partial paralysis.
Yeah, she couldn't move her fucking legs and shit. Fucking,
yeah.
Like, she's totally awake and everything, but can't fucking move. Yeah, fucked up
that'd
with
be
that
pretty
be.
Scary, you know, I mean, if that was what you were feeling at the time, so definitely fucked up. Now, later that same day, another account was given from a young mother who smelled a strong odor, was unable to move from her bed, so same type of thing, and hearing her daughter crying in the distance, which would be very, you know, upsetting,
right.
Obviously.
Coughing a lot.
And you can't, you know, get to her because you can't even move, so pretty fucked up. Definitely a terror situation for sure. So, now, the following day, September 1st, was when the Kearneys were attacked at approximately 11. As we were saying, the wife smelled something sweet, thought it was flowers outside the bedroom window, became stronger. She also unable to move her legs. Now, her sister was in the house, also smelled the same thing. Police called, no evidence. And that's when the husband came home cab driver.
Found the guy, he said he saw somebody.
Right, crouching by the window and then described him as tall.
And they actually chased him and wasn't able to catch up to him, so he got away or whatever. So who fucking knows?
Yeah, for sure. Mrs. Kearney, though, they said experienced burning on her lips and in her throat after the accident or incident, further giving theory to that they were
gassed. Using gas, yeah.
So pretty fucked up.
Nobody ever mentioned anything about their eyes, though. You think if you got a gas going in there fucking with your throat and your face and shit, they have eye issues?
Oh, yeah, because when I was in the Army, we had gas, CS gas, which is tear gas. But
you had to go into the chamber.
We had to do that, but then we also, I didn't do it, but some guys went through like more chemical training where they like mustard gas and some other shit in very small doses just so you recognize it if you smelled it. So that kind of stuff, it immediately fucks your eyes up.
Yeah. Right.
So that's kind of what it does. So I agree, that is weird that in none of the descriptions that I see anybody saying they're tearing or burning.
Nothing with their eyes. I thought it was odd.
What I always wondered, too, is like as fast as information travels now, obviously something happens in Japan. We can all hear about it now. But back then, those first two attacks that happened on, you know, August 31st, I always wondered if the second set of people, if they knew about the first attack or not.
Oh, sure.
Because if they knew about it, then it's in their mind. If they had no clue and then they experienced it,
something's going on.
Right. Then
yeah,
I
that's
would
a
think,
good point. I never saw anything that said that they had heard about that.
Yeah, so they did. Yeah, that's fucked up.
And it is, like I said, back then it's possible that something could have happened in town that nobody ever even heard until later. You know,
right. Especially the same day.
Yeah. You know?
So, definitely interesting. Now, the Mattoon Gazette was really the culprit of what some people feel got people kind of whipped up.
Because, the one
headline.
They were
constantly fucking reporting it. But really, in a town like that, I mean, why wouldn't you be going wall to wall with
it? It also didn't help, though, after the fucking, I think it was the Kearney's, the headline in the paper was first victims. They already knew somebody was going to go around and keep doing it. The headline straight up first victims or whatever. Right. Like, okay.
Yeah, kind of presumptuous there. Now, September 5th, Mattoon resident, this is one of those good ones, Beulah Cordes, came home.
This bitch is dumb.
Now, I'm going to tell you, my grandma's name is Beulah for real.
Is it for real?
So, I'm going to let you know before you say too much.
I won't. But yeah,
my grandparents' names are Beulah and Neville, and those are weird names. But just so you know,
well, at the time, there's other ones too, Bertha, or whatever. Now she came home. What's fucked up about her, though? We were laughing about this earlier. She comes home. She finds a white cloth on her porch, and she smells it.
And gets sick.
What do you think you're going to smell on that?
Dude, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Somebody wiped his ass and threw it on your porch. I mean, I don't know.
Fucking dumb.
It's fucking ignorant, man. That's the last thing I would do.
No, I definitely
pick it up
and
smell it. I'd be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Like hanging.
Probably throw it away. You know. She became violently ill though immediately, and so I don't know why the fuck she would be smelling some shit like that. Lots of media attention, of course, about the mad gasser. She claimed later that she suffered paralysis. So, again, like you were saying, Joey, whether she said that after she heard the other people or whether independently of that. But 5 days later, a few days later,
I'm sure she would have known about it.
That, I would looking, think.
Yeah. But I don't.
You can get in the paper that way.
Right.
I mean, I mean.
Yeah, they said they feel like they put it out there to get the dog because they didn't want the dog to bark. But the dog was smart enough not to fucking smell the motherfucker.
Yeah, the dog's looking at it like, that's somebody's jizz rag.
Right. I am not sniffing that, dude.
I think the underlying question one that I had always asked you whenever I lived there was the fact of nothing was ever burglarized.
Yeah,
or
nobody
no one was ever
robbed.
Assaulted.
Right.
So if this dude's just going around to scare, he is just literally going around to scare people, but it's like, they say that they did it to incapacitate the dog and do this. Why would you do any of those things unless you were going to try to commit a serious crime?
Right.
And now you have the means to do that because you can knock people out.
Right.
But
can't
nothing
move.
Nothing was ever done. And,
right. That's
and,
true.
And I mean, the 40s for sure, but I like one of these, I believe it was the Kearney's, happened like two blocks away from where I lived.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, nice. And that neighborhood in Mattoon where I grew up was very old, but it was very nice. You know what I'm saying? So this is a nicer area. These people, they've got money, like, they would be who you would probably go to rob.
Right, and there was no there account was of anybody getting stuff stolen. That's a good point, because if you can't move, then
I can
you
go
got
take whatever the
free
fuck
reign.
I want.
You could, you know, commit crime, rape, I mean, all sorts of things that could have happened that didn't. So that's interesting. Like, why would he have done it other than just to be a pain in the ass, you know?
Which all these questions are exactly, to me, why this case is so interesting.
Right.
Because you have no idea if anything ever happened, if something did happen. But the speculation, and it makes you think.
Right.
So what could have happened? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, in addition to the cloth that Beulah found, there was a skeleton key and a tube of lipstick nearby. So kind of weird.
Yep.
Police tested the cloth. They found no chemicals, so not sure what the deal was with her reaction. And so who knows?
I mean,
was it whipped up?
Something you'd think.
You would think, but again, how did they test it back then?
True.
Who knows? They didn't have the same testing, obviously. And shit. Right.
They're like, oh, it's dry. There's nothing on it now.
Right. Right. Now, that same night, another Mattoon resident claimed she saw an intruder in her home. Now we start getting into this possibility. He thought that he came in through a window, and then he attempted to gas her. She was the one that said she saw the flit gun because people in a town like Mattoon would have known what that was. You know, they're a rural town. Like you said, Joey, surrounded by corn and bean fields. Yeah. So, you know, that would have been known to just about everybody. So she called it out as that, and that's what she said she saw that he had in his hand. So kind of interesting there. Things definitely getting out of hand. The fucking cops are probably overwhelmed. I mean, I don't know how many cops they had in Mattoon, but maybe half a dozen.
Very, very right. Many.
So
now they got a shitload.
Right. So, you know, they were getting floods of calls. People said they smelled stuff that was suspicious. I'm wondering how many men got, like, accused of gassing because they were, you know, farting. You know? I mean, like, somebody, like, really blows it up and you're, like, calling the fucking cops, like, I'm getting gassed, you know. Cops are like, did your husband drink beer again tonight, ma'am? You know?
Dude, that made me think of something. Did you hear that story that happened just recently? Fucking somebody called it a bomb threat at a Home Depot because some dude walked into the bathroom, said, I'd get out of here, I'm about to blow this thing up.
Yeah, I did.
Somebody
see that.
Called a bomb threat in.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the headline was like, man arrested for bomb threats and he was going to blow the bathroom. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was really funny. So, yeah, I mean, it's just people getting out of hand. I did think it was interesting, Chris, the Mattoon police chief there, C.E. Cole.
Hey, Cole.
warned the town to keep their doors and windows locked, especially at night. Stay alert.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't fucking go walking through somebody's backyard for $10,000 because people were just kind of vigilante.
Oh, sure.
Looking for shit.
Especially then. Everybody's got a fucking gun, I'm sure.
Right.
You know?
He's like, I just would not walk through people's yards, especially at night. Don't fucking do it.
Yeah, and the FBI even got involved here, and they were trying to disband those patrols because people were just out of fucking control. They were worried, like you said, somebody was going to shoot somebody just walking around. So it was at this time that they were getting calls where physical evidence was being found. Some footprints under the windows, screens cut.
They said some of the footprints were like women's footprints.
They did, yes.
And they found the lipstick.
Right.
Yeah.
So hard to say.
Said it could have been a woman dressed up as a man.
Doing this, you know, very possible.
Crazy ass bitches.
They also, some of these were explained away, though, by, you know, an open bottle of nail polish. You know,
yeah, there was the one lady said they got that she thought she got gas, and they came in and found a spilt over bottle of nail polish. It's like,
right.
Come
so
on.
People
you know
were just freaking out, and the media was, you know, definitely, you know, getting people fired up. I thought a dead animal under somebody's porch was...
Yeah.
Was what they smelled. So
obviously don't know the smell of decay.
Yeah, for sure. The police chief made a public announcement to tell the town that he believed the gasser incidents were exaggerated by a public tired of war, and especially many of the residents who returned from war were suffering PTSD, even though they didn't call it that back then. They used names like shell shock and war fatigue and stuff like that. But these guys, I mean, saw some brutal shit.
World War II, they saw some fucking bad shit.
Some harsh fucking stuff. This would have been, you know, at a time when gas attacks were still a threat. I mean, even when I served during Desert Storm, gas attacks were a big thing because Hussein was doing it. So we did a lot of gas training in the Army when I was in 91 to 94. So... it's, you know, it was a thing for a long time. Started in World War I and went all the way through most of the 20th century, really. Last reported case of the mad gasser came September 13th, 1944 by Bertha Birch.
Bertha Birch. How about Bertha?
Sounds like a stripper's name. Old Bertha Birch.
Coming to the stage now.
Reminds me of my first grade school teacher, Mrs. Roundtree. I thought that was a very... And she was a big lady.
Yeah. All
right.
She was cool as fuck, though.
Nothing wrong with
that. She was awesome. It was from this event, though, that the gasser was described as the woman... dressed up like a man. And like you said, Chris, the women's footprints right. found outside. So I can't imagine that with a name like Bertha Birch, he got picked up on some compared to as big as a tree and all that fun shit. So poor lady. Probably very
fucking.
Nice.
For some reason, I just picture fucking Large Marge
yeah,
from
that's
fucking.
The first
oh, yeah.
from fucking, what is it? Pee-wee's fucking Big Adventure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she, with just the names, like I said, I was just having fun with it because it's a different time and obviously different names. The police chief or the local health official said there's no doubt a gas maniac exists, made a number of attacks, but many of the reported attacks are nothing more than hysteria. So fear of the people, gas, yeah. he said, is entirely out of proportion to the menace of relatively harmless gas that he's spraying. The whole town is sick with hysteria.
Just so paranoia. Just paranoia, and you hear things like, oh, fuck.
Right. So, I mean, like Joey, you said, you know, the residents even still, you know, now think, yeah. you know, that it really happened, and then a lot of the officials think that it was bullshit.
I mean, I have to say this, too. Like, some people know this, but Mattoon, what we're talking about right now, is one of the most ate up and deprived places I've ever experienced. The people that it was called Meth-toon for a long time for a reason.
Right.
So what I'm getting at is that the people down there, a lot of my, you know, friends, people that I knew, people that are no longer alive, locked up forever, all had really serious drug problems. And it was a big thing down there for so long since before me, because like the biker element was there and that's where, you know, Real quick history. No, methamphetamine came from the West Coast because of the Hell's Angels, who hooked up with the pranksters who were the bike gang from here, found out they could make meth with anhydrous ammonia from the farms. So Mattoon, which is where the pranksters, that was a big bike gang whenever I was there. They were getting phased out, but they were huge through the 80s and 90s. But anyway, so that's where they hooked up there, and that's why Mattoon became such a central hub of this epidemic is what it became.
Wow.
So on top of all of this, going back to this story consisting of possible hysteria, and then this town continued to be in its own strange mind.
Right, huh. right.
So to me, yeah, that of course up. They're going to believe that there was a gasser.
Right.
And, you know, among a bunch of other things.
Yeah, that's interesting because, yeah, it is kind of its own little animal down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and like I said, growing up there, I heard, I could tell many, many haunted stories from there. The biggest known place down there is Ashmore Estates.
Right.
Now, I will say, I don't want to get too off track, but I will say Ashmore Estates, considered one of the most haunted places, yada, yada. They did the ghost tours. They did, you right. know, haunted things. I'm going to tell everybody right now that as a 16-year-old kid growing up in Mattoon, me and my friends, that place was a condemned building. They used to be a children's psychiatric home, right. among other things. We would break in there on acid. You know what I'm saying? We're a bunch of troubled kids in there just hanging out,
right.
and none of us ever experienced anything. So I always thought, if there's somebody that's going to be susceptible, it's going to be a bunch of kids.
Oh, sure.
And we never ever saw nothing down at Ashmore, so I got my doubts about
right,
that.
Right,
but
okay.
anyway, so this town envelops a haunted essence, though.
That's yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, like I said, that's why we wanted to have you in here with that local perspective
yeah.
since you live there. So, you know, I don't know. The chief blows this off. He says, you know, he talks about these specific chemicals that had a sweet odor that were used in the local factories. He said the main culprit was a company named Atlas Imperial, who I looked up and they made diesel engines. Company refuted, though, the claim, saying that they didn't have enough of these chemicals even at the plant.
Yeah, and they
that
said,
would have caused something like that.
Yeah.
So
and
they
came
were
in and
like,
checked
no
it
way.
And everything's supposed to be safe and everything.
Right.
Within all regulations and whatnot. So
yeah, they brought up a good point that if it was something that they had caused, their employees would have
a death
true.
Like being
yeah.
right there that close to
yeah.
it. That,
right. So they were like they thought it was bullshit. They said it would take an awful lot of those chemicals to even be close to that kind of thing. And the factory had just been certified as safe from the Illinois Department of Public Health a short time before the incident. But since this happened in Illinois. That's not saying shit because somebody could have given somebody some money. Right. It's been like, hey, why don't
the
you
politicians that we have fucking going to prison in this state.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know, but that's what they claim. All right. But in 1945, I thought this was kind of interesting. In a psychology journal, the Mattoon incident was used to describe how public hysteria can get out of control and make normal people make outrageous claims and believe what had happened. So this is what we were talking about. This was also noted in 1959 by another psychologist who used the mad gasser of Mattoon to point out mass hysteria and how to pertain to the flu.
Right.
So this was kind of referenced multiple times in like legit like psychiatric journals and stuff. And each reference to the gasser was pointed out the Mattoon Gazette newspaper was a likely cause for the widespread hysteria. So, of course, media at a time, when that's problems. How people got their news from yeah. the newspaper. You know,
but it's funny now, so much longer, you know, 2019 to 1944, the media causing panic and turmoil within right. our communities.
Go yeah. figure.
Imagine.
Go, yeah.
They haven't changed much. So
no. It's just now you get to do ones like this, like the podcast, where you actually get to fucking say
right.
what's on your mind as a real person instead right. of somebody fucking
right.
greasing palms to get you to say what they
Big
want.
Big time. Big time. And we see it today. You know, people get fired up. I mean, not to, you know, get into local or, you know, current events / politics, but that Jussie Smollett case, yeah. you know, where he claimed he was attacked by these Trump supporters and they yelled racist slurs.
Find out it wasn't true.
Now they think it wasn't true. He's being charged with filing a false report. So you could see how the media, like you were saying, Joey, steps in and gets people kind of whipped up, and maybe they don't, you know, get all the facts before they put this stuff out. And I yeah. get,
right.
you know, that's what he said. So they're believing him at face value, but that's a pretty outrageous claim. And it seemed kind of hokey the way it was described with the noose.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking
weird. It just seemed kind of lame. So all I'm saying about the subject is the media has not changed.
Right.
The media is the media, and they want to sell
they're
the
do
news.
What they want.
And it, so it they're going to report
it, if it
what
bleeds,
people
it leads.
Wanted. Right. Totally.
I did hear one story about the Matt Gasser. There was this chemist at one of the at U of I that everybody thought was gay or whatever, and they kind of pushed him aside. So there was some people that thought that he was fucking doing this shit as a
oh, really?
Revenge because he was gay or whatever. So they thought it was him. So
huh.
I thought that was kind of fucked up. One. Yeah,
interesting. There are a couple of other podcasts that did do some stuff on the Mad Gasser. I checked out some on Spaced Out Radio. It was actually pretty good. They had William Van Nuss or Van Huss, the author of the Mad Gasser of Baudecourt County, which was the Virginia case. Right. I saw that. I did not buy the book. I almost did. I did buy the book about there is one about the guy we're doing next week. I stumbled on while I was
all right. Gotta buy it.
Doing
gotta
that.
Buy
so
it.
I did buy one, but it wasn't that one. So
nice.
I did not buy a T-shirt though. About
that's fucking surprising.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I didn't even look. I've been pretty good here lately, but I'm about due for one. So a couple documentaries you can get on YouTube. I did see a book, though, called Predator, The Mad Gasser of Mattoon by Jason Lee Brown, but I hadn't read it, but it's on, and it got good reviews on Amazon.
Did
so
it. Right on.
It looks like a legit book, but I did not see that, so I don't know.
I haven't read that either, no, but I think I might go try to find that.
Yeah, yeah. It looks, like I said, with the good reviews that people liked it. So
that's cool.
So the subject of public hysteria definitely real, and you know we see this in other things with terrorism. You know, DC snipers. I mean, we talked about that. How fucking people were scared to fucking death. I mean,
they weren't going anywhere.
I mean,
when
who
they,
the fuck would want to? You know,
you never know when you're going to get shot. It's
right.
all random.
It was
and
so
shit.
Random.
And putting the fucking tarps up over the gas pump so you can't see and shit.
Right?
Like, yeah, it's insane.
And the Unabomber. You know, that would be another one that yep. people got upset about,
right?
and scared. Islamic terrorism, that's their whole thing, is getting yeah. people afraid and scared. So I think the public hysteria thing is a good, interesting topic, and it did weave into this one very nicely. And it is interesting. It's almost like a benchmark case for
yeah. yep.
public hysteria and what it can do. People
yeah,
believe in it and getting all crazy.
Very much so.
But with the incident in Virginia, you got to wonder, maybe it was, you know, whether one inspired the other or could have been the same person. Who knows?
But, you know, with the lack of info, like we were talking, though, like even though that happened way before, these people probably had no clue about it.
Oh, I would think
so. The fact that there were so many similarities,
right,
that gives a lot of credit that it could
be. It does.
You know.
It does, because like you said, it's not like today where we know the shit instantly, right?
And some dude that lived in Virginia knew about the Virginia story, moved in fucking Mattoon and started copycatting and shit.
Yeah. It's very possible.
Which is also a cool twist to it.
Right?
Big time. Now, next week, we got another Illinois case. We've been talking about this one. I know he's been bumped a few times, but it's an interesting one. William Hirons from Chicago, known as the Lipstick Killer, because he left messages on the walls with lipstick. Very interesting. He did confess to 3 murders, but some feel he was wrongly convicted, and he recanted later. Again, that...
The false confession.
That same fucking story, you know, false confessions. We actually got an episode coming up, I can't remember when it is, but it's on the schedule on false confessions, right, so that'll be interesting. But he also said the police beat him up, too, and again, Chicago, I mean, hello.
Hey, man. You know?
I mean, it's happened, right?
I straight up, like, Chicago police don't fuck around. I got arrested up there one time, fucking standing in the bullpen, everybody's getting put in that just got arrested. Told him to get rid of any kind of fucking smoking material or whatever. So I got pull my cigarettes and my lighter and everything out of my pocket.
Yeah.
And when they're going through my shit, in my wallet, there was a pack of fucking rolling papers. And dude's like, I thought I told you to get rid of all smoking paraphernalia. And I was like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I forgot those were in there. And he straight kicked me in my stomach while I was standing there.
Damn.
Fuck. Wow. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. What the fuck?
Right. Well, you remember the horrible fucking shit when we did West Memphis 3.
Yeah.
With Damian Echols in prison. I mean, that was fucking horrible.
They fucking treated him like shit.
So, yeah, that's bad. And we're not saying that it happens to everybody, obviously. But when it does happen, it's fucking horrible because they've got the power to do this shit and we can't fucking do anything.
And not saying all cops are bad.
Of course not. Of course not. My dad was a parole officer for 25, 30 years in New York, and he told me plenty of bad things about the inmates, but not... you know, I knew that my dad would, the parole officer would do something like this. I'm just saying he was in that business.
Yeah, he was in the situation.
And never heard of that kind of stuff, at least from him. So, but William Hirons, an interesting story. He was the longest serving inmate. I don't know if he still is, but he was. Served 65 years behind bars. That is fucking nuts.
I couldn't even imagine.
So we're going to dig into that next time. I've been wanting to do this one for a while.
You've been wanting to do this one, and when you brought it up, I was like, that's pretty fucking interesting.
Yeah, and there's some good documentaries that are out there. So, but you know what? I'm hearing something in the distance. Joey, I don't know if you hear...
That chugga chugga?
The
920 Danbury train. We got our boy CK. He's been fired up. He said he was listening to Overkill all day.
Nice.
So it's kind of like Matt Foley in the basement drinking coffee for 6 hours and coming up and doing a motivational speech. We got some CK action. So let's get our fucking metal on, man.
Fuck yeah.
All right, a little Gorgasm for you guys there. Joey, I knew you were coming, so I wanted to play a little carnival whore.
Hell yeah.
It's my favorite kind.
We got CK on Skype. How's it going, CK?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
Dude. We are doing some mad gassing over here, hot boxing in the heartland.
I'm doing some mad gassing here, too.
Nice. I was going to say,
burping my fucking, ostomy bag smells fucking like sewage.
Oh, God.
I'm sure.
The mad gasser of Wild Man Street.
Totally. Nice. All right. Well, we got you on here, buddy. You had a good topic, very timely, too, with the new album coming out Friday. But who are we going to be talking about tonight?
New Jersey's own Overkill.
Fuck yeah, dude. Doesn't get much more old school than that.
No, we were talking about that.
They're definitely old school. They go back like to late 70s when they were called the Lubricants.
The Lubricants. Nice. No fucking shit.
I did not know that.
I
didn't know that either, that's dude.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, they were originally like a punk band, which Rat Skates, the original drummer, formed originally with Dee Dee Verney. I mean, they started out as a punk band. Then, like everybody else, they learned how to play their instruments and were
right.
And eventually, you know, moved more towards like doing metal covers, like Priest covers, Maiden covers. Eventually, changed their name to Overkill. Obviously, a homage to Motorhead from the song Overkill. And when Rat Skates designed the logo, if you ever noticed, the O is directly ripped off from Iron Maiden.
Is it really? Yeah. I never noticed that.
Yeah, he even admits that, you know, when he originally did the he ripped off Iron Maiden on that one.
Interesting.
And the original logo was all in green because he wanted it to stand out.
All right.
So I mean, how can you not miss a fucking green logo?
Oh no, you got something bright green. It's gonna be noticed.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I mean, they started like everybody else doing covers. Eventually, doing originals. And Rat Skates was really in the early days. He was the driving force behind that band. I mean, he did all the promos. He sent out all the promo stuff. He set up the gigs. He set up the stage show. What they look like, the uniform, the costumes. I mean, originally, when they first were, they were doing that white grease paint thing like the Misfits used, like the Misfits did.
Right.
So they're kind of giving off that kind of vibe.
Almost kind of corpse paint a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, eventually moved away from that and then just did the thrashing with the jeans and all that shit.
Right.
They put out a demo, which I actually had when I was tape trading, a 4-song demo, which did really well for them. They were signed to a label called Azra Records, which kind of put the demo out professionally on vinyl. Like every other band, when they first get signed to a label, they got fucked over. Saw no money from it.
Of course.
That fucking sucks.
You know, eventually signed with Megaforce Records.
Fuck yeah.
And, you know, put out the Feel the Fire album, the first album, which was fucking, which was definitely something a little bit different than what you were hearing. I mean, because at that time you had Anthrax, you had Metallica. So this was a little bit more, it was thrash, but just a little bit more different. It was, I think, a little bit more of a punk attitude to it.
Right.
The second album, Taking Over, they were actually part of the Megaforce/Atlantic Records when Atlantic Records kind of took over distribution for them, so they got a larger audience. And Taking Over was pretty much the breakthrough album, which put them over a little bit more. And I played the shit out of that album. I mean, that album I played almost every day.
Yeah, I played that too. That was right when I was getting into the more underground.
And so. I'm sure you probably have it on vinyl as we speak, right?
actually, I don't have that one.
Really?
Oh, damn.
No, I never got that one back. It's like impossible to find without paying fucking a lot of money, which I'm not willing to pay right now. So, but I would love to have it on vinyl, but I do have it on CD.
Right.
At that time, after that album, Rat Skates actually left the band that he helped form, because the touring and all that was just taking a toll on him. Not making any money after all those years of putting like your heart and soul into it. And he just got,
that shit's rough.
No, he just couldn't take it anymore. So, he left the band. Sid Falk, who was originally in, Paul Di'Anno's Battle Zone, came into the band. They put out Under the Influence the next year, which was 88. That album did well for him, even made him bigger. And I think at this point, I saw him like on every tour up until I think it was like 90, 91. So I saw them at, probably by the time The Years of Decay came out in 80 and Horoscope in 89 or 91. I think I probably saw them like 12, 13 times.
Wow, man, dude, that's a lot of fucking times, dude. Jesus.
I mean, they opened for like everyone. They were playing like the West Hartford Ballroom like once a year.
Right.
At that point, you know, and at that time, tickets were $10.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I didn't like
that. That was a great venue too, to see bands.
You know, and it was big. It was big enough, but it was intimate at the same time. So it was a cool place to see a band.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Then came like the 90s, and like every other band around that time who was metal, I don't know what the fuck happened. They just put out like a couple shit albums.
Yeah. It was a bad time.
You know, that hair metal thing was going on. Grunge was coming, yeah. You know. And it's like, I don't know. They put out I Hear Black and WFO, and it just had no heart and soul in it. They weren't horrible albums, but they weren't anything like the previous albums.
Basically making an album to make an album, kind of.
Right. Yeah, and at that time, they were doing it like every year, every other year. So at some point, you know, you need a break.
Right.
You're going to start to put up some subpar shit at some point. 95, they signed with CMC Records, which was independent at that time after leaving Atlantic. And they had a change. They changed guitarists. Actually, one of the new guitarists was Joe Como. And if anybody isn't familiar with a band called Liege Lord, he was the singer of Liege Lord.
Okay.
So he actually became the guitarist.
I was gonna say, so he changed from vocals to guitar. That's pretty fucking cool.
And they had former Anvil guitarist Sebastian Mariano as a second guitarist. You know, and they were putting out some good shit at that time too. They put out you know, they're putting out albums like every year. I mean.
Well, we did the math. The 19th album just came out, and they've been around since 1980, so that's like an album every other year.
Yeah, that's pretty
impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it comes out to The Killing Kind in 96, From Younger On and Below in 97, Nicholshine in 99, Bloodletting in 2000, Killbox in 2003.
Just going to town, man.
Relics 14 in 2005, Immortalis in 2007.
Wow.
Then in 2010, they put out what to me was a fucking one of the best albums, killer albums, I thought, in a long time, which I still jam to this day, Ironbound.
Yeah, that's badass.
That came out in 2010, so there was like actually a 3-year difference between that and Immortalis. And ever since then, they've just been coming out with fucking killer albums. I mean, Ironbound, 2 years later, The Electric Age, White Devil Armory in 2014, and The Grinding Wheel, and last week, The Wings of War. Oh. And all of those albums are just killer, man.
They are. The new one is unbelievable. I love it.
You know, and they have their new drummer, Jason Bittner, who used to be in Shadows Fall.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Shadows, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he was in Shadows Fall in Flotsam. Actually filled in for Charlie Benante and Anthrax for when he was down with us. He had some injury, and this guy fucking kills. He's just a killer drummer. He's fucking, I think he kicks new life into him. I mean, not to say that they weren't kicking ass before with Ron Lipnicki, but I think Jason Bittner just puts a little bit more of a little more of a threat, more of a thrash element to them than they had in a couple of years. And that new album, it's amazing because you're going back 30 plus years, and these guys are still coming out with albums that are fucking, you know, schooling bands today on what to do.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I saw an interview with them on YouTube where they talk about the. Like how they've reacted to the modern ways, you know, downloading and all that. And it was interesting to hear their take on it because obviously they've seen the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, they've seen it progress.
Albums,
oh, yeah.
Cassettes,
yeah.
To CDs,
to digital.
MP3 players, iPods, and then, you know, now everything's streaming. And
right.
It was just very interesting to hear their reaction. All of them were on, and it was cool. It was, you know, the old school attitude. But their basic sentiment was, hey, either you got to get with it or you're fucking done. Yeah. So you can bitch, piss, and moan about it all you want, but you have to embrace it and fucking go with it, because if not, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah. Left in the dust.
And these guys haven't stopped touring in all the years. I mean, even when the late 90s, early 2000s, I think when Bobby Blitz had the
cancer.
Had a cancer, you know. He went through, took care of it, and they were still touring.
Yeah,
you know?
He's fucking amazing. And he's got such a cool attitude. He just seems like a really good dude, you know. He's just, every interview I've ever seen with him, he's laughing. He's just very cheerful. He's just very, very energetic and you know, charismatic for sure.
I mean, I was lucky enough to meet him and Dee Dee Verney.
Nice.
God, I forget which tour. I think I saw him. I think they were playing with Motorhead at the West Hartford Ballroom. And we were going to take a piss, going to buy shirts. And both of them just got done with the set, walking around, hanging out.
Talking to people. That's awesome. Talking, when band members do that shit, man.
You know, went up to both Dee Dee and Bobby. I said, you guys kick ass. He goes, thanks. I said, I've been a fan since day one. He goes, appreciate it. You know, keep supporting us. We love what we're doing. And, you know, fucking 2019, and they're still doing it, you know, so.
Right.
And they did, to me, they just keep getting better.
Yeah, they're a really great band. I'm really looking forward to seeing them coming up in April with my son, seeing them with Death Angel.
May.
It's going to be badass.
I thought it was May.
Oh, it is May 5th. I'm sorry. Yeah, May 5th. In St. Louis, at a venue I've never been to before, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, they should kick ass. I wish I could go see them, but I just, for me right now, it's just, I can't.
Yeah.
Unless it's something I really want to see, I can't deal standing up or for a long time or whatever, but, right. You know, but it is what it is, you know, I'll jam it at home.
For sure.
How can you not?
And there's a good documentary that because Rats Gates is now he's in the film industry, he does documentaries.
I was
going to
say, I thought he did something else after that, so that's what it was.
You know, he did a documentary on the early days of Overkill when they first started. I think it's From the Basement. And huh. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Is it from when they were called Lubricant?
It started from there when they were called Lubricants up until he actually left.
Fucking love that name.
It's a good documentary on him. It started, like I said, from there with the Lubricants until he left the band. And he also did the documentary Get Thrashed, the history of thrash metal.
Okay.
That was his doc.
And he's got a cool as fuck name too, Rat Skates.
Well, he got that because he was a semi-professional skateboarder.
Oh, okay.
I think his real name is Robert Lee Kundruck or something like that.
Huh.
Rat Skates is much cooler.
Rat Skates is definitely cooler. Yeah, it's definitely cooler.
I mean, it's not as cool as Chris Shawback.
Oh, but, I don't know about that.
With your fucking finger necklace over there.
Hey, buddy.
He owned his own skateboard company.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, in the 80s. I think he did. Yeah.
Huh.
Short lived, I'm sure, but yeah, Rat Skates, like it was known then. For
nice.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I keep forgetting that you're from Connecticut too. So it's weird. Yep. Okay, we got a fellow Connecticut citizen transplanted to Illinois. So
even though he's a fucking Red Sox,
we're not even going to talk about it. See, I didn't want to bring it up on the show. We're getting along and everything. So.
And the Pats.
Yeah. And the Patriots.
Everybody has their cross. Oh, Patriots talking about fucking Robert Kraft getting into prostitution.
Yeah.
Right. How fucked is that?
I think it brings up his street cred, though.
I don't feel bad about that.
He's a fucking millionaire. He don't give a fuck.
Didn't he visit, like, on the day of the AFC Championship?
It was. It was, like, 2 days before and then the day of. Like, goddamn, you know? But, yeah, that's a funny story. That's hilarious. So, anything else you want to add on Overkill?
No, that's pretty much it for Overkill. I mean, you know, for as long as they've been around, you know, to put it into a small segment like that, it, you know, I could go on and on about
it. Oh, I'm sure you could. I have no doubt about it.
I'll tell you what, but, I seen them, they headlined Full Terror 3 2 years ago.
Nice.
And they came out, and they had the most pyrotechnics and all that, of course, you know, because it's overkill. Right. Nuclear Blast has a big deal in the Full Terror 2, so that's why they were on there.
Okay.
But I will say Overkill, especially for as older as they are, you know, the energy that they brought on that stage and just their whole performance was mind-boggling.
Nice.
Because some people come out and you can tell they've been doing it a long time. And you know, just it's just another going show.
Through the range.
Yeah, right. But I mean, they came out and they fucking put on a performance that was just amazing.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
That's cool. That's cool.
Like they still actually like to do this shit.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. It's not going through the motions. And there's, I mean, you guys know as much as I do, there's bands out there who just, they go through the motions. They go on tour because that's the only way they can make money.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's the only thing they know how to do, you know, and probably half the band members can't even fucking stand each other at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if anybody's a fan of the Ramones, for the last 10 years, none of those guys could fucking stand each other.
Right.
But
that's
what they
knew.
No, it was a business, and, you know, and they fucking put on, I've seen them 50 times, and every show I saw, you would never know it. They kick ass, but there's bands out there who
did
fucking
you,
go.
Did you just say you saw them 50 fucking times?
Yeah, he's not even bullshitting, dude.
52, 53.
Holy fucking shit, dude. Yeah. God damn.
He single-handedly supported the music industry.
Yeah, he is.
30,
Jesus.
40 years.
You got to remember, they like in the latter years, they didn't put out too many albums, so they were just touring all the time. I mean, they play like, If they play within a 50-mile radius of Connecticut, 100-mile, we went and saw them.
Yeah,
all right. That's fucking,
you know,
cool, man.
A ticket for $15, shit.
Right. Well, that's cool. We got Joey here, Goremonger, in the studio with us, and we said that we had some issues with some miscommunication on our part together and didn't make the live performance happen tonight, but we're going to do it this weekend and then put it on the next podcast, so that'll be cool. But since Joey's here, we had a few questions for you, Joey. Got some stuff coming up and thought we'd share it with everybody listening.
And you know, don't worry about the live performance. We're going to get that. I'm looking at CCK over here next to me, and I feel like he's looking at me telling me it was better that we didn't do it tonight. That Sunday will be. I feel that. So
yeah, I do too, man. He calls the fucking shots.
Yeah, he's like, come back and we'll be all right.
And just to prove the point, he fucked with all the other shit. Like, all right, are you done fucking playing around? Now sit down and do your fucking podcast.
Right, no shit.
You motherfuckers. Putting fucking shit on me. Putting fucking masks on
that's
me
fucking
and
awesome.
Fucking Elvis wigs and shit.
Quit you fucking with fucking me. I'm going to fuck with you.
So Joey, tell us about that Heart of Illinois Field of Scream show coming up. It's going to be wicked on April 13th. What's going on with that?
I'll give a little background on it since I can, because I'm sitting here in the Murder Metal Mayhem Horns High Studios. But, yeah. But 5 years ago, I started this show, and the way that this came about was I have some friends who everybody knows, a Borning from by Atlanta, Georgia.
Love them guys.
Well, those guys were on tour 5 years ago, so, you know, 2014. Or whatever year. I think that's right. But anyway, they were on tour, so they were coming through this area anyway, and they were just going to stay the night with me. So they had a place to sleep and a place to shower, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We live in a good spot here for touring bands to crisscross.
It's kind of centered a little bit, pretty much.
So they were just going to come up for that. And I got there, I was sitting there thinking, in a Borning, they're a drum machine band too. At that time, they were a three-piece, and they had a bassist with them. But I was like, man, I practice my band in my apartment all the time. Why can't I have these other bands play?
Right.
So that's how this all started, was in a house show, an apartment fest.
Oh, nice.
And there was
in his fucking little apartment too. Yeah. There's a bunch of people there. It was intense.
So no, the first year wasn't bad. It was okay.
Right. The second year.
Yeah, now the second year, so then me and Aborni go on tour the second year. So we're like, okay, apartment, Small Ass Apartment Fest 2 is what it was called then.
Right.
So this time, we did the first show, you know, was just them on tour. This time, I'm on tour with them. So we're coming back from Little Rock, Arkansas. I had given Shaw back my keys before we left. And yeah. I'm like, you guys get everything going. So, you know, we show up. It'll be legit. We had cleared out everything out of my living room and everything. So we had that all set.
All the dildos.
Yeah.
And the anal beads. Yeah.
So I had the anal beads all with Boston symbols. You know? but I had Shaw back and I had Big Mike. Collier, our buddy, right. Both of them running grills, you know. So anyway,
we cooked a shit ton of food. Fucking.
Nice. So we're coming back from Little Rock, me and Aborni, and I call Shaw back. He's like, "Bro, there's a party going on right now." So we pull up, and it's just fucking nuts. And there was probably 80 people in my tiny ass apartment. No bullshit.
It was insane.
So anyway, so we push past that.
You left him with the fucking keys. Right?
Yeah. But I was like, okay, I can't do this no more. This is fucking insanity.
Yeah, it's so only going
to
get bigger.
So the third year, I went to the Voth, the forest, where I got the ski job by the right. So we went there, and I rented a cabin out, and that's what I did the last 2 years. So that okay. I called it Heart of Illinois Fest. Now, I'm not going to lie. The name Heart of Illinois Fest is directly taken from the song Heart of Illinois by Impetigo, which is one of my favorite bands who's from Bloomington.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
So I did take that as a tribute to them. You know. So I called my fest that, the Heart of Illinois Fest. So the last 2 years was at the cabin in Forest. This year, somebody else rented it out. In the meantime, trashed it, and then I wasn't able to retain it. So... brings us to 2019.
Right.
We're about to do Heart of Illinois Fest 5, Field of Screams, and that's going to be at the Bloodshed Complex, which is where Murder Complex does their show, Bloodshed in the Country. Correct, yep. It's going to be April 13th. There's going to be 15 bands. I got a pre-party band, Blood Feud. I got two after-hour bands. I'm going to have Chalk and A Treachery Untold play, which they played last year for the after-hours. And then I've got 12 other bands from all around the country, a Aborning, Crotch Ripper, Batu nice. Parade from Virginia, Horrid Demise from Texas. It's going to be really, really badass. Awesome. It's only $5. I've kept this party $5 the entire time I've ever had it, and it's because that's the whole thing, is all my friends are fucking broke. And if they're going to come out from out of state to come see the show and stuff,
right.
I want them to be able to enjoy themselves. And we go to these other fests, you know, which are awesome. Full Terror, go out to Vegas, whichever fest. But you know that it's going to cramp your wallet when you're
right.
You're going to be a little bit bad.
Shitload of
exactly.
merch too, yeah.
But this way, you can come to this show. It doesn't cost you much to get in. It's BYOB. Nice. So, you know, you don't have to pay for the bar prices for drinks. So what do people do? They turn around and put the money back into the merch that everybody brings.
Right.
And it becomes its own economy.
Right.
And it's fucking amazing. I'm going to have Murder Machine Clothing come out, who does the patches.
Yeah. Jason's does awesome shit.
Murder Metal Mayhem.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to do a little riffing between some of the bands, which would be fun.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool
Killer
shit
Cage match and fucking shit. It should be good.
So
got,
anyway, I
and
mean,
you got Homeboy coming from what's his name, dude? That does Frylock
from he does Frylock. The voice of Frylock will be there.
Yep. Yeah, Frylock from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Big shout out to Pete Saratovich for that hookup.
Yeah, he hooked that shit up.
Yep. But no, April 13th, Colfax, Illinois. I mean, if anyone's close, it's only $5, and it's a great time. All I do, I have one party a year, and I invite my friends. So it's always a good time. We just hang out.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to be there. And we'll be talking about this, I'm sure, as we get closer. We're talking about this probably every time.
You've been talking about some. I know you've been working on one for a couple of years, but what new Goremonger music you got coming out soon?
I was telling people this is my 15th year with Goremonger. I started in 2004, so it's a pretty good run. Taking it out to California, Dallas, and a few other places I've lived. And as a one-man band, it's cool because you can always... bring your shit with you.
Right.
Yeah. Do it everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
It was awesome. But anyway, so in that time, I have put out 7 full-length albums, and I am currently finishing wrapping up my 8th, and the new one, which will be out for Heart of Illinois Fest, is is Horror Flicks 2, the sequels, which I already did one concept album, Horror Flicks, which was all about horror movies, obviously, and this one is the sequels. So I actually have 19 songs of part 2s.
Nice.
You know, Texas Chainsaw 2, Saw 2, like...
Oh, cool.
I haven't released the full track list yet because I'm letting people keep guessing a little bit. But, right. But the CD is... I'm one guest vocal away from being done, which is Joey Scholl, who did Hellraiser, cool. So he's doing Hellraiser 2. So I have no worries about that. He's right here, so I know he's coming over. So yeah, sweet. It's basically done, and that'll be out for Heart of Illinois.
Nice. Fuck yeah, dude. That's really cool, man.
Man, you said you've been doing it for 15 years. It's been... pretty fun ride, though.
Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, I mean, Shaw back here, he's been around for most of it.
Yeah, I've been around for a fucking lot
I of did, it, like, sure. my first Gormeyer show, really, as a one-man at the Detour in Forest.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
tiny bar. And actually, whenever I set that show up, I went to Shawback's house, and he's the one that helped me, like, do the flyers.
You got all the flyers and all that shit. It was fun.
Fuck yeah. So yeah, from the beginning, basically.
I think it's cool. I know when we were at Bloodshed, you know, I don't hang out as much in the grindcore circles as you guys do, but I was really impressed with the real camaraderie that you guys have. I mean, it's a pretty tight group.
Yeah. Yeah, we, there's not a ton of people, A, taking you serious about what you're doing.
Right.
Not a lot of people paying attention, and we get that, and we're still trying to have fun with what we're doing. So within that, you become tight-knit with the people that are like-minded in that thought, and you guys are doing the same thing. And then before you know it, like, the only way that we can make the things happen that we do is by helping each other out.
Right.
None exactly. of us could do any of this shit on our own, basically. Right. Gormonger and my label, FTA Records, all that shit comes about because of the people I associate with.
Right.
I mean, I do what I can myself, of course. But without them other people, and without that...
It wouldn't be what it is.
No, it wouldn't be shit.
Right.
It would be a couple Gormonger albums that you could get off some website somewhere.
Right.
Instead of, like you said, it is... You see us come out there. These people are from all kinds of other states. And
yeah, Ohio and shit. Yeah. I was like, damn, these people traveled a far way to come out.
They come and we're from like all over.
Really all friends. About it. Yeah, it's really cool. So that's awesome, man. Definitely looking forward to that April 13th in Colfax. We'll be plugging that as we get closer.
Hell yeah.
Real quick,
yeah.
A little bit about your album, Fuck the Ass, or your label, Fuck the Ass Records. How do people find you to get merch from you? Because you got a shit ton of merch, man.
I do, and it's funny because we are in this digital age, and I get bigger bands that I talk to and stuff, and they're like, man, why don't you put your stuff on Spotify, all those platforms. And right. I get that, and I really should do all that. So, unfortunately, I still live in a caveman world where I do a lot of physical stuff. So, if you want to buy physical copies, CDs and stuff, come to my label. You go to FTA Records on Facebook. And to be honest, that is the only place you're going to find.
Right.
You go to FTA Records or Gormonger pages on Facebook and message me. And you'll see the merch list up. I got tons of stuff, but I've got my own label stuff, but I also distro... with distros from all around the world. So I get stuff from overseas in here so you don't have to pay the shipping costs.
Right.
Things like that. So, yeah.
That's cool.
I want to give a real quick shout out because I thought this was super amazing. In this day and age, like I said, most kids are buying physical or, streaming. They're not buying physical.
Right.
CK is probably crying because these kids are just fucking ridiculous.
Right.
But,
fuck it. I hate digital, dude.
I know. There you go. So, anyway, kind of lost my train of thought right there. Oh,
shout out.
Yeah. The shout out was because, okay, so there's a local band from around here in Chatsworth, The Treachery Untold, who, you know, they're playing My Party too.
Right.
Some buddies of ours. Their vocalist hit me up the other day, and I've got two merch lists. I got mine on my label, and then I've got the other one, the distro list. He posts a picture of my label's list, 35 items. He says, I want one of everything.
Wow.
I thought he was joking. It took me a couple messages to realize that he was dead serious about it.
Wow.
And so I want to give a shout out to Marcus from Treachery Untold because that puts a lot more faith back in me.
Yeah.
To see the younger generation like, no, wait a minute, I want those physical copies. Because something that I don't think some bands understand, but definitely with Gormonger, when I release an album, it's a complete work of art. The layout, the disc itself, the music on it. It all tells a tale. If you're just getting the music off my CD,
right.
You're not really getting the full thing as far as I'm concerned.
Right, right.
And which is a old way of thinking, but
I know
how I'll always be, though.
Right. No, that's good because, the old guys out there doing this stuff like us,
yeah,
compared to these younger guys, they don't know because they didn't grow up in that time.
I've handed a couple younger guys at shows. I'm like, oh man, he would love this fucking CD, and I just give it to him, you know. And then later on, he don't say nothing because probably he never even listened to it.
Right.
Because to put a CD into a CD player,
yeah, seems like ancient.
Yeah, and it took me a while to kind of grasp that's kind of like, right. Oh, so now I pick and choose a little better and
right. that's probably a good
and
way to do
one
it.
One more thing real quick. And you're doing something with Waco too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I will. Sometime in March we will drop this, but Waco Jesus, who basically all their stuff's out on Morbid Generation right now, which is cool. They re-released all their stuff from Germany. You can get patches and all that. But Kevin, the guitarist for Waco Jesus, he wanted to put the demo out, which is a 4-track demo, came out in 1995. It was also called The Destruction of Commercial Scum, which was the name of their first album also. Right. So it was kind of a little confusing, but it's a 4-song demo, and he entrusted it with me, which I thought was really cool because he could have went to any of the bigger underground labels and they would have picked that up fast. He wanted somebody local to do it,
which
that
is
he
fucking
knew.
Awesome.
Nice.
And he is the only one that's on that album that's still in Waco.
Okay.
So that's why the rest of the guys were like, that's yours. You know, do what you want with that. So it was really nice. It kind of fell into place, and we've completed the layout. I've got all the songs done. Like,
there's that train.
You're the train.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, if anybody's a Waco Jesus fan, I'll have that demo available next month. So.
Fuck yeah. Well, very cool. Any other local stuff, Chris, you want to bring up?
Nothing I can think of offhand. I do want to just bring up Pornfields. When's the dates for Pornfields? Fucking Sean's party.
I think so.
Yeah, July 20th.
I think it's only one day this year, which is cool.
Right, which is cool. Yeah, yeah.
And I seen you got the chalk shirt on, too. Oh, I know those guys are recording. I got to listen to some of that stuff. We were at Pete's on Saturday.
And, you hear some of the vocal tracks
some
and
some of
shit?
That stuff. Yeah,
yeah, I knew they were just laying down vocal tracks the other day and shit, so they should be coming out with that pretty fucking
soon. Yeah, it's fucking cool. And I saw Murder Complex had a little delay with their release, but it's coming out. Coming. Really looks sick, man.
I heard that Shut Her Up, Cut Her Up. Nice.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's the one I guessed vocal on. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm available. Anybody wants me to come in and do some shit, I like doing it. So.
Yes.
Well, very cool. Well, CK, thanks for sticking around with us. And
no problem, man.
Fucking threw down Murder Metal Mayhem style, and we're going to move on. And let you take that 920 out of fucking town back to Wild Man Street. So.
Later, bro.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Fuck yeah. Yeah. New Overkill, man. Distortion. Overkill.
Hey, do you think this is the size of my bladder?
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
I know it's a lot bigger than your liver.
Yeah, we've got some body parts out here on the table having a little bit of fun with that. And we're going to nail some to the wall, though, at some point. I got those big spikes.
Spikes.
Fucking ridiculous. Anyway. We are now into mayhem, Joey, and we always feel comfortable in mayhem for some reason, Chris. I don't know if it just
feels
a lot
right.
of fucked
feels
up right. shit going down.
Yeah, it feels right.
It does feel right. And we've got a couple of stories to tell. I've got one, and then Joey, you've got one as well, so that should be good. Chris, do you have any mayhem?
I might have a little short one, nothing major.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
Okay, very good. Well, my story isn't a real long story. It's just funny because I had forgotten about this guy. And I got in a conversation with Jen about this idiot from my past, and I just couldn't help but share with everybody.
Fucking
so.
A. Can't wait to hear.
Back in my old band, back in Connecticut, there was, you know how whenever you're in a band, everybody wants to, like, get in on it, you know?
Right.
And, there was a guy, I don't even remember how I met this guy in Danbury, but he wanted to manage the band, and he thought he was going to, like, get us signed to, like, some big deal.
One
you
of
know?
Those guys.
Yeah. So I'm real skeptical because he's not, like, a metal dude. Like, he's like, okay, like, you always hear about, you know, like, people, like, nowadays, you know, like, the white dude that, like, acts like he's black.
Right.
Okay. Well, this guy was doing it before it was fucking cool. Like,
he was the OG.
He was the OG for sure. I mean, it was beyond fucking ridiculous, okay? So here's this dude acting like this, telling me he's going to sign, get this metal band signed, you know? And we were a progressive metal band at that. So, I mean, it just didn't even, right, worlds apart from the shit he was listening to and all that. So anyway, he was obsessed with getting us signed to Def Jam Records because he was like, you guys could be the next Slayer, you know? And I'm like, we're not like that band. I mean, when I was in Low 12, that was much closer to like Slayer.
Right, right.
But my first band, not at all. Okay. So I'm like, I love Slayer, but it wasn't, you know.
It wasn't what it was.
It wasn't like, that, yeah, you know. So anyway. You know, but a non-metalhead doesn't see that, right? They just think it's all metal.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
Just like people that would listen to you would be like, you know, think it's the same thing as
Slipknot.
Yeah, I and it's like, it's not
like Slipknot.
Yeah. No, it's not fucking like Slipknot at all.
Yeah, so anyway, he said he knew a guy that worked at Def Jam.
Right.
So he wanted to go down to New York with me. And go to Def Jam Records. So I'm like, you know what? All right.
Let's check it out.
See, let's fucking do happens. What have I got to lose, right? Now, the problem is, his name was Bobby. I won't say his last name, okay? But Bobby went by B-Boot. Was B-Boot. Like his name, okay? So, like, I had to, like, call him this, okay?
Hey, B-Boot.
Like, Bobby, he'd look at me, like, all funny and, like, like basically, like, you know you're supposed to be calling me B-Boot. It was
who are you talking to?
Ridiculous,
yeah, like,
okay?
Who are you talking to, man?
So he had this B-Boot Productions. I actually have the sticker still on my bass upstairs. I've got it on the case. B-Boot Productions. So I'll show it to you sometime.
That's fucking awesome.
It's funny. So anyway, we meet at the train station, ironically, the Danbury train station, where we keep hearing CK's train in the background.
Taking pictures.
Yeah. And I get there, and I'm looking for him because it's like getting close to where we got to leave. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden I see him, and I'm like, oh, fuck no. He shows up with a fucking shower cap on.
Get the fuck out of here.
And fucking Jerry curl in his hair. I'm like,
what the fuck are you doing?
I'm like, what are you, dude? Like, what? You know, like, we're supposed to be going to a metal label, you know? I mean, I know they did rap too, yeah, but still.
Right, right.
You know, yeah, like, that shit, you know? So he's like, I don't want to fuck my hair up, you know? And I'm just like, oh my God. So I had a ride on this fucking train with this dude with this shower cap.
That's fucking ridiculous.
So we get there, and he's got the, you know, the shower cap off, and he's got his hair all styled. It's fucking ridiculous. And we walk into Def Jam, and I'm just like, we're going to get thrown out of here, you know, because everybody's staring at us. Because
first off, though, let me just say, you went to Def Jam Records.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
we
fucking
did. Cool. We just walked in, you know. And it was just like a desk and a small, like, waiting room.
Yeah.
And the secretary is like, can I help you? And I'm just thinking, God, she must be looking at him like, what a fucking idiot, you know? And he says, yeah, I'm here to see so-and-so. And she's like, he doesn't work out of this office.
Oh, fucking.
And he's like, well, he told me to meet me. Yeah, he was going to meet us here and all this stuff. And she's just like, he doesn't work here. Like, he works in wherever it was, New Jersey, wherever he was at.
Total,
you know,
different city, yeah.
Not even close, you know? So it's just like, are you fucking kidding? I'm standing there like, oh my God, you know? And the Jerry curl thing was just like, it was overwhelming.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty.
So anyway, we were told that we didn't have an appointment. We had to leave because he wanted to wait around and see if like Russell Simmons or something.
He's going to come walk in and be like, hey, yo, dude, check this
and
out.
I'm just like, please don't let fucking Russell's anybody fucking be seen with this fucking B-Boot dude with this fucking Jerry curl.
Rick Rubin's like, get out of here.
Right, right. So, yeah, so that was my experience,
yeah,
with
that's
B-Boot.
Pretty fucking,
yeah, he's fucking ridiculous.
They're fucking, me and Michael, we lived in that apartment downtown. We, like I said before, we used to have parties there all the time. Well, one night we had this fucking kegger fucking party in the apartment.
Yeah.
And there's these two guys there. They fucking, they're pretty well off or whatever. And they're just fucking paying people to go around hitting motherfuckers in the balls. It's like, here, here's 20 bucks. Go hit him in the nuts. So we're fucking doing it. Like, all right, fuck it. Fucking,
that,
I
that's
got
a Shawback game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just get, like, fuck it. Let's fucking do this shit. Fucking, so we're just walking around. I got hit in the nuts. Everybody's getting hit in the nuts, dude. The fucking, everybody's getting paid money to hit each other in the fucking balls. Well, there's this one dude, he got paid like two or three times.
It's like hobo with a shotgun.
Right, yeah. He fucking got that shotgun taped to his nuts and shit. God damn. But this is one dude there, he gets paid 20 bucks like two or three different times to go and hit somebody in the fucking balls. Well, eventually, somebody got paid to hit him in the balls. Well, he got all fucking pissed off. It's like, motherfucker, you've been doing this to everybody all night long. Now that it comes happens to you, you're fucking pissed.
Right.
And fucking one of the fucking dudes that was fucking like paying people for it and shit, he's a pretty bigger dude and pretty stocky, whatever. And he's over the dude that got hit in the balls, he's all over there bitching and shit. And we're all like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Everybody's fucking been doing the same shit to everybody. Why are you so fucking pissed? And he started looking at the big dude and he's like, what the fuck are you going to do about it, fat boy? I shit you not.
Oh my God.
He walked straight over to him, grabbed him by the throat, picked him up, drug him across my loft ceiling and choke slammed him on top of the fucking keg. I was like, holy shit, dude. And fucking, that was the end of that. Fucking, he just fucking left all pissed off at me. He's like, I'm your fucking friend. I'm like, yeah, they're my friend too. You're fucking doing the same shit. Why are you pissed when it happens to you? But just watching him act, literally pick him up, drag him across the ceiling and choke slam him on the fucking goddamn keg was like, God damn.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked
up. That's pretty fucking crazy, man. Damn.
Fucking, that was fun though.
Awesome. Joey, you said you had a good one.
Yeah. I had this story and I kind of came up with it from a few episodes of your guys ago because you've been talking a lot of Florida death metal and you know, brought up Candle Corpse a lot and all that shit. So it got me thinking about, everybody's got stories about some of their metal shirts. You know, you've worn a shirt somewhere and you got some story. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I heard, I believe you guys were talking about it one time too, But anyway, so I was like, I want to tell this story I have about a shirt because A, it wraps into the Mattoon theme.
Nice.
And then B, the metal theme or not. But so one of the first death metal shirts I ever owned, like I had like DRI shirts, Nuclear Soul shirts,
right.
In junior high and like sixth grade, But one of the first death metal shirts I ever owned was Deicide. And it was the Legion cover on the front.
Fuck yeah, badass album.
Yeah, and then the back was like a picture of them, and underneath it, real big, it said, "The End of God, the Way It Must Be." So, we're coming up. I'm like fucking freshman or whatever. I'm young. Young punks wearing these fucking shirts think we're the coolest shit. That's back when Campbell Corpse Eating Back to Life was like the dopest shirt.
Yeah.
Couldn't wear that at school, though.
Nope.
Right.
Tomb of the Mutilated shirt. Can't wear that to school. I found that out.
So me and one of my buddies, Tyler Gein, he was in the band Slough. He was also in The Secret Life. He passed away tragically at 24, but he was, big in shape and what I do, and he was an amazing musician. But we had the same class, and it was like after lunch. And back in those days, like, we would start partying for the night because we would eat acid in school, this is the 90s, it was stupid shit back then. So we would be twisted in school. And like I said, this is Mattoon, this is the shit that's going on,
Right.
So we're tripping. I remember this one day, we're tripping, and we're in whatever math class we were in at the time. And the teacher was probably a legitimate Nazi.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
He was German as fuck, and, like, this dude was probably, what I'm saying? But back then, It wasn't like, he was just, this German.
Fucking,
dude.
Yeah, right.
But nowadays, people would probably look at him, like, a lot different.
Right.
Anyway, he was very much assertive, power trip guy, and I just remember that one day we were all fucked up and we're sitting there in his class and we're laughing and shit. He's fucking pissed off because we're giggling and shit, you know. And I get it now.
Right, right.
But, you know, back then, we're just having fun. I'm a fucking kid being stupid. And back then, we didn't give a fuck anyway. We fucking hated, like, school authority. Like, back then, it wasn't, like, cool to love school. Like,
right.
Things have changed for the better, you know. But, so I remember he took me and Tyler and grabbed us up and brought us out into the hallway. And we're sitting there just, you know, laughing and messed up. And he's so fucking mad at us. And he looks at Tyler, and Tyler's wearing a Cannibal Corpse logo shirt. He looks at him. He's like, "What is this, Cannibus Corpse?" He's like, "You think this is funny?" And my buddy Tyler's like, "What? It says Cannibal Corpse. Like, that's any better, you know?"
Right.
It's like, it's funny now because there's a band called Cannibus Corpse.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Right.
It was so funny to see that you're like, "Cannibus Corpse." And then he comes over and looks at me, and he's like looking at my shirt, and he's like, "End of God, the way it must be." He was like, "You think that's cool? You guys think you're cool?" And he's just so fucking pissed.
Wow.
And I'm seeing the vein pop out in his head. So nothing ever came out. You know, he fucking yelled at us for a little bit, and that was the end of that.
Wow.
But that was a classic moment with that shirt. Yeah. So fast forward to the next year, and it might even have been the same year, as a matter of fact, because I moved from Mattoon to Fairbury.
Yeah, Forest, that's when I first met him.
Where Shawback's from, that's where I met him. So it might have been the same year because I moved there like over Christmas break. So I spent half the year, you know, in Mattoon.
Right.
I think it was the same year. So fast forward. So I move up to Fairbury, Illinois in 1994. Kind of before the internet was really a big thing. And the reason I bring that up is because Fairbury, especially back then, Chris can attest, was very sheltered.
Super sheltered.
Yeah, it didn't fucking have outside influence a whole lot.
Right.
There wasn't a lot going on. There was a lot of jocks and a lot of church people in the school.
A lot of apostolic Christians.
Yeah. When I met Shawback, like him and
your kind of people.
Yeah, my kind of people for days.
But like Shawback and his friend Sat, like back then, those were like the first dudes I met that were like, you know,
we listened
not
to,
really like that.
Yeah, we
that
listened to metal, we skated and shit.
Right.
I mean, I moved from Mattoon and I was 90s as fuck. I had huge ass pants, you know what I'm saying? I had death metal t-shirts. I had long hair. And it was just not what those people were used to there.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I remember.
Because, yeah, we were definitely, I was definitely outcast from that area. Like, fucking.
But, I mean, I couldn't even fathom how serious that was, though, at this point. Like, I know now that that's a fucking cult over there. That right. place is run by a cult. Fairbury is a cult. Apostolic Christians are a cult.
Yeah.
I can't say that enough. But at the time, I don't fucking know shit about this. In Mattoon, we had Amish people.
Right.
And they had their own spot. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is.
They keep to themselves.
Right. And this is. These people own this whole shit. Everything
right.
around there. So anyway, so I don't know nothing about this. So I'm in school. I'm a pretty, you know, I was a good student. So I wasn't shy about like raising my hand to answer a question, something like that, you know? And they asked me one day, like right after I moved there, they're like, "Can you come up and, you know, do something on the board," as they do, you know? So I get up and I go up to the board and I'm doing this problem, whatever it is on the chalkboard. And I turn around and the look on the whole fucking class is, I'm wearing that Deicide shirt. And as I'm standing there writing, it just says "The End of God, the way it must be," big as fuck,
nice.
All in their faces. And when I turn around and see their face, I'm like,
wow.
I didn't even get it.
Like, why are you guys
point.
Fucking looking
yeah,
at me like that?
And it was
like
at, great after Satan that, that, I think my buddy, like, Zeller.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
DZ.
I think one of them, they explained to me about the apostolics and everything, and then it made sense to me, and never again did I wear that shirt to that school.
Right.
Yeah.
And after that, I think they, you know, they took more initiative not to let us do shit like that anyway.
Yeah, cause like
but at that time, I had no clue, and to me, it was just,
right.
I'm wearing a Deicide shirt, I'm fucking cool as shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, that was two times with that same
oh,
shirt.
Oh, that's funny. That's
and funny. I'm going to give you a tiny piece of mayhem also added to this, because it was also the same time period. When I moved from Mattoon to, you know, to Fairbury, my parents, the house that we lived at in Mattoon is the nicest house I've ever lived in, personally. Very real fucking badass house from like the 1800s, and it remains the way that it looked. White stone lions in the front. Like, anybody that's from there knows that house.
Hell yeah.
So when we moved, my parents sold the house fairly quickly. We moved to Pontiac. In my bedroom, in the closet, I fucking drew so much satanic and pornographic drawings and evil shit in the closet.
And fucking left it
and
there.
And left it there for whenever we moved. And I always wondered, you know, like, we're talking about the hysteria thing. Like, if these people moved in or were just like, oh my fuck, is this like Amityville House?
Right, you know, like, bring a priest in.
That's fucking hilarious.
But yeah, that's
dude.
My mayhem with the Deicide shirt. Matt,
nice. Well, that's good stuff. Fuck yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Well, we do have a killer cage match to get to here, gentlemen. We thanks again to Fred Arbuckle and Josh Ogden for providing the random numbers. Anybody listening that's not familiar with the cage match, we take a list that we came up with of 60 killers, 60 objects. We have the listeners pick four numbers, two killers, two objects, and then we pair them up in a fucking cage and fucking let them go at it.
See what happens.
And they're funny. I mean, we've had some really good ones. And this week is fucking classic. Our boy Ricky Casso, man. Yeah. We can't talk enough about Ricky Casso.
He fucking kills me, man.
The
not literally.
Acid King. We've had a whole podcast on Ricky, if you're not familiar. It's definitely worth going back and listening to that.
Ricky's
and Leonard versus Leonard Lake, who was a fucking madman.
Him and his cyanide.
Yeah. So he was, him and Charles Ng were doing their thing, abducting women and torturing them and shit. So those two, Ricky Casso and Leonard Lake, going at it, Chris and Joey, in the cage. But the objects they've got are pretty good. Chris, you want to share those with?
Got a fucking wooden rolling pin.
Yeah.
And a goddamn set of anal beads.
Now, I made a note here to myself to remind myself to bring up a quick story. It's very quick. About some anal beads. In my old apartment, back when I was first moved out of the house. In Connecticut, I had a place there in Danbury, and it was apartment A1. So everybody just used to refer to it as the A1.
The
was
A1.
The name of it.
Let's go to the A1.
Hey. Yeah, let's go hang out at the A1. Everybody knew what that meant. And we fucked with people because we took the A1 off the door.
Right.
And my roommate took the sign off the laundry room door that said pull. And put that on our door. So, like, people, which was a dumb idea because you'd be sitting there all fucked up and somebody's like pulling on the fucking door.
Trying to get in your fucking apartment and shit. Like,
so it happened all the fucking time, you know, because people be like, why is this door say pull? And they're pulling on it and it's a push. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. But anyway, so we had constantly parties going on. First, one of my friends that have his own place. So it was this constant partying. So as a joke, I think one year we had a secret Santa and somebody got me fucking a string of anal beads.
Oh, yeah, I bet you.
Yeah. And we put them by the door like hanging on a hook. But my roommate took a Hershey bar and like rubbed it all on them. Dude. So he put them there and if somebody didn't know, they're like, what the fuck are these? And my roommate would be like, oh, those are ass beads. And they're like, oh, that's fucking gross, you know. And then sometimes he would really fuck with him and go over and like lick him and shit and really freak him out. Yeah. So it was more of just a fuck with people type thing.
That's funny,
so.
Dude. That's fucking funny.
So that's my anal bead story. Anyway, what do you guys think? Ricky Casso, Leonard Lake, a rolling pin, and a string of anal beads.
Oh, man, I don't know what you think, Cashman.
I mean, because you're talking about them whenever they were
in their prime.
Yeah. To be honest, I think I would have to go with Ricky Casso on this one just because I think he'd be more agile and a little more ferocious, where Leonard Lake was more into people subdued. And,
right.
You know, he probably needed to rest a little bit every now and then.
Plus, he had his buddy, Charles Ng.
Yeah. He had ninja kicks, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Leonard Lake, like, physically a more imposing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right. Ricky, like you said, younger and more intense, especially if he was all tripping and shit.
I don't know.
Imagine he'd grab the rolling pin.
And, yeah, and just
I mean, that would be the
shit
obvious.
Out of his head. Yeah,
beat on him and shit.
Yeah, I'd say take the rolling
like
pin.
In excess.
And then,
Right.
Yeah, in excess. You can hit him
screaming,
across
the, say you love Satan the whole time.
Hit him across the mouth one time, pop that cyanide pill in his tooth cap, dude. That's going to kill him right there. Yeah. I'm going to go with Kessa. Mainly because he's my boy. You got to have your friends' backs.
I know. I agree. I think all three of us just get a kick out of old Ricky Kessa. I would agree, though. I think he's probably going to beat him down with that rolling pin. And who knows, if he gets the anal beads, he could choke him out.
Oh, yeah, he could totally do that.
Get on top of him and just fucking choke him out with the fucking anal beads.
Say which you would love
be kind
Satan.
Of fitting for Leonard Lake to die with anal beads choking
That would
him,
be pretty fucking fitting.
Yeah, I always thought about Leonard. Like, I love the story of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. Like,
it's
the
a good
film,
one.
You know, it's a terrible tragic
story. Of course.
But as far as, like, if you're into that kind of shit, it's a great one. Now, the thing about that always pisses me the fuck off, though, is that Leonard Lake goes, eats that cyanide tablet, but fucking tells them Charles Ng's name before he does it.
Yeah, he fucking straight
bitch made as fuck.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that
straight
ain't right.
Straight snitched him out and then killed him.
Yeah, it's like, why would you do that? You didn't gain anything.
Like, let them do their detective work and get him.
Right, because they would have got him.
Oh, no, this is Charles Ng.
Later.
Yeah, that's bogus. Totally. That's funny. You know, one thing I wanted to mention before we leave Mayhem, I wanted to give a shout out to our buddies at the Black Crypt podcast.
Yes,
man, that was really cool. I got tagged in that on Facebook. You did, and then they did later. But they read my short story, Man with Spots, on their show, and they did a great job
on it, man.
Sound effects and everything.
Yeah,
I was fucking completely blown away.
Fucking job on it. So, yeah, the boys in the Black Crypt podcast.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, it's season 2, episode 12 is the one that I'm on, or the story is on, but it's well worth, and those guys are really cool. We've mentioned them on here before, but definitely go check them out, Black Crypt Podcast. You can hear them wherever you can get us.
Yeah, I listened to that today, and I was like, oh my God, they did a great job doing this story, man.
They did. I like the Man with Spots voice.
Yes, I loved his voice.
That was cool. Yeah, they did a really, really good job, and it was cool. I wondered which story they picked.
I like the way they did the intro. It's always, he says, basically, like, it's always good to have somebody have your back, especially when that person is the man with spots.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck yeah, dude. That's so badass.
For sure. So, and like the old school Low 12 fans know Man with Spots because we had that song, which is about the same subject. But the Man with Spots in the short story is good, but in the song, he was bad. So I flipped him around a little bit. So.
Right on.
I mean, he's fucking evil, but he's good. Helping the kid out. So definitely go check them out and listen to that short story. That short story is on Creation of Chaos, my short story collection. That was the one that was in the TNT horror contest, was a finalist.
Fucking
so it was well received, and I thought that was cool that was the one that they picked. So thanks, guys. And we're done, I think, with some mayhem here. So
get into this outro shit.
All right. Death Angel, the
Hell
Moth,
yeah, dude.
Man, I love that song. I've been jamming them since I got those tickets to see him with Overkill May 5th in St. Louis. I'm fucking stoked. I know my son Joey is excited. He's a huge Death Angel fan, so
and they
he's
were
definitely
bad at-
pumped. I know they were at FTA, and we didn't miss that. I'm kind of anxious to see what bands they roll out this year. I've seen a couple, of course, but Jungle Rot. And Waco, of course.
Chrissix, fucking.
Yeah. Chrissix, we've been talking about them.
I know Clit Eater's playing.
Yeah, Clit Eater's playing.
Sexual Atrocity.
I was going to say Sexual Atrocity.
Yeah, are you playing?
I'm not playing, but I'll be down there.
Okay. We're hoping we're going to be there, too. Yeah. They haven't approved any of the press yet, because we applied, like, the day it was available.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm hopeful. I know Shane from Waco wanted to see... He was telling me that he's been interested in the podcast thing. He listens to them, but he's like kind of intrigued at how it all works.
Yeah.
So he had said he wanted to come in and check it out. And I was like, dude, we're right in the middle of building the studio. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth the wait. Because, Joey, you had made the comment. You were up in the second floor corner of my bedroom yeah. doing this, and now we're in here, and it's a much different vibe yeah. in here for yep. sure. So, and I knew in my head kind of what I thought it was going to look like, and it's surpassed.
Yeah, it's yeah. great.
That it's so sick in here. So,
but it's also what's so awesome too is the heart of the DIY value of it.
Right.
It's not. Yeah. It's not over glossed, overproduced. It's not like you're sitting in some kind of fabricated. You know what I'm getting.
I got what you're getting at.
Oh yeah.
I'm looking around here and I'm feeling it in here.
Didn't hire somebody else to design it. It's all our thoughts and what we wanted.
Right. You didn't buy all this shit. You know, this is people came in and contributed to make this.
Like, right. Yeah. And a lot of this stuff we've bought, you know, like at the convention, but like over time and then, you know, our own stuff, you know, the banner that you guys, the logo that you guys came up with, I was like totally stoked to put it on a banner. And I thought it was cool that we did this behind Chris's back.
Yeah, fuckers.
Like, Joey, you got to send me a high res version of that.
You fuckers.
Yeah. So it was really cool. So, and we'll have to get you up on the mug shots there, Joey. So that's definitely we'll have to come up with a good name for
him. Like I said, I mean, the video walkthrough is really cool. And, of course, you can always update that as you get more stuff put up in the place.
Oh, yeah.
But I highly suggest, I mean, if anybody just knows Peter Chris and is in the area for whatever reason, just say, man, let me check that studio out.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Oh, yeah, thanks, man.
I love showing people around in here. It's just really cool because, like you said, a lot of work went into it. It was months in the making, so... Very, very cool. Well, thanks again, Joey, for coming in and doing this. Definitely good to have you here.
Hell yeah.
And next week we'll have some live Gormonger
video
on the YouTube and then a little bit on the next show. So that'll be awesome.
Sweet.
And we'll keep talking about the Heart of Illinois Field of Scream show on April 13th, which is going to be badass. Bumper music this time by Overkill, Death Angel, Putrid Pile, and Gorgasm. So
all
nice,
great
family-friendly music.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
We appreciate all you guys listening. I couldn't believe it, dude. I'm seeing Argentina and Poland in the top 10 countries, which is cool.
Polish dudes like metal.
Yeah.
I guess. And then Chicago still number one, followed by Bloomington, New York City, and Danbury. And other cities in and out of it as the week goes on. So the stats are live. So as the show starts to be listened to, it's interesting because I could see like the foreign listens are heavy at the beginning because they're ahead of us.
Oh, the time.
So they
their time.
Available before they do here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool how it all works out.
I always wonder about that because like I don't really have internet. I steal my internet, so every now and then it goes out, and like I might not have it for like a week or whatever, and then I'll have it for a little bit. But anyway, so like there will be times where I can't listen to Murmur of Mayhem because I can't download it for a bit, and it'll be like, you know, two or three episodes I might fall behind. Not usually, but every now and then. And so I always wonder then whenever I do get back on and I grab all them real quick if that helps boost our numbers.
Yeah, I mean, the Bloomington numbers probably. Yeah, every little bit helps. Now, we get some good comments like always. Chris, what's that first one there?
Mandy Johansson, she commented, I love the metal twist you guys did on Killer Cage Match last week. Are you going to do that again? And yeah, we plan to do that again. Little experiment, see how it worked out. But it seemed to work, especially with CK helping us out with it, too.
Oh,
that was fucking fun as fuck. So yeah, we do plan on doing that again. So thank you, Mandy.
Fuck yeah. Now, Joey, you like the name of this next comment, so I'm going to let you read that.
All right. Buster Cherry. I'm telling whoever has that screen name, I'm jealous of your screen name. Buster Cherry, he said, those karaoke songs you did with Chris's sister were awesome. She can really sing her ass off. Love Shack was fucking hilarious.
Yes, it was, and she can sing great.
Yeah. She is like a legitimate singer.
Oh, I know.
She does not.
Yeah, when she was in here... It was funny because I'd never recorded like a real singer before. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, just sing, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll figure
like,
it
I'm
out.
I'm used to the growlers, you know, so it's kind of funny. Just actually with a legit talent, you know, instead of just.
Yeah, she is amazing,
you know?
For sure.
So that's cool. Richard Hildegard said, I've been listening to your show recently in Germany. That's cool. And loving it. You guys are fucking great. So thank you, Richard. That's really fucking awesome, man.
That's fucking
hopefully
great.
He's drinking some good German beer and listening to some Murder Metal Mayhem.
Hell yeah.
And then the last one, Chris?
Roberta Wilson said, are you guys still looking for people to sell advertising on the podcast? And actually, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get anybody respond. I was kind of surprised. I thought we would get a lot of people interested, but we're looking. If you're interested in making some side money, we would like to hire a person or two to sell ads on the show, and we'll give you a good commission. So you sell ads, you make money. If you don't, you don't.
Right.
And that's just the way it would be. So it's more of a side gig. But if you're interested, email me at nyfan67, Joey,
gmail.com.
That's nyfan67 at gmail.com. And my Instagram is Buck Faustin.
That's
awesome. Yeah. We'll respond with the details and what we're expecting from you. That was my fantasy baseball team last year.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Or the year before. Last year it was Oscar Gamble's afro. Yeah. Yeah. And we have a black guy in the league, and I like talked to him before. I'm like, Andy, like, I don't want to come off as like some racist fuck, but like, I love Oscar Gamble, and he died that year.
Yeah.
And I was like, that iconic fucking picture of him with that crazy fucking fro, you know? And I told him, and he laughed. He's like, that's fucking awesome. And I'm like, all right, cool. I just didn't want you to be like weirded out, you know?
Right.
He's like, no, it's all good. Because they'll write the team names on the board of the pick. So the Oscar Gamble's afro.
That's,
you know,
funny.
But we've had some funny team names in the football league, like Stinky Pussy.
Yeah.
One guy, Hard Dicks. I mean, just really fucking stupid.
Dumbass
shit.
Fucking names.
Yeah, totally ridiculous. So anyway, get your ass to the Heart of Illinois Field of Scream show in Colfax, Illinois, Saturday, April 13th. Get on Facebook and the event page to get all the latest. We've been posting stuff about the show on our Facebook page, and so you can check it there too. Don't forget, Murder Metal Mayhem will be there with a booth and doing some between the band stuff. It's just going to be a great event.
T-shirts, cool, koozies.
We'll have it all there.
And
we'll even have some of my books, which seem to sell pretty good at these events, too.
And so, as the show starts getting closer, we're going to start using bands playing the show as bumper music, so you get a little taste of what you're going to be able to hear over there and shit. So,
yeah.
Should be pretty all right.
Yeah. We'll be talking about that, I'm sure, leading up to it. So, that's really cool.
Let me say real fast, since I'm sitting here in the studio, that when Pete it's talking about his books, that I just finished Dreadful Lives of Enoch Strange, and I just wanted to say that it is an awesome book. Like, I read books. Like, I grew up on Stephen King and Clive Barker, and this book, I went into it not really knowing, because I just know you as a musician, basically.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going into it not really 100% sure, but as I'm reading that book, it was just enrapturing. And you stay with the story, and it makes you want to turn the page, which isn't always the case. So,
cool.
You know, Pete's been, you know, promoting his book, and I definitely say that one, and then he has the other ones too. But Dreadful Lives of Enoch Strange, like, I'm going to buy that shit for my mom tonight and let her check it out, because it's that fucking good.
So, cool, man. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. So, yeah, and also don't forget to go to murdermetalmayhem.com, pick up a t-shirt or koozie. And you can also go to our YouTube channel, follow us there, subscribe so you know when we're posting shit. And you can get those books that Joey mentioned at PeteAltieri.com if you want one. Or you can go on Amazon and get them there as well.
But you don't get that free stuff with it from Amazon,
you don't.
Man.
You only get the poster and the bookmark if you order it from me. So that's the one perk of getting it. Same price, too, so you're not out anything. We can't let him go, though, dude, without another slab of karaoke sickness. I wanted to tie one in with the Mad Gasser, Joey. I know I shared with you and Chris my selection this week, and I think it kind of...
That's pretty good.
It's creepy, though, too, because you think he's like gassing him through the window, but he's like there looking. Yeah. So it kind of ties in both. I think it's
and
like,
the song's creepy as
it
fuck.
Is creepy.
Every time I've ever heard this song, I'm like, creepy. This is a straight fucking stalker song. Man.
Well, I remember if you've seen the movie from way back, Cat's Eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
with that Quitters Incorporated with James Woods trying to quit smoking. And everybody's watching him. And he goes to that party and they're playing that Every Breath You Take. And it's fucking crazy.
They
could have
used excerpts from that movie for the music video, and it would have been just, you know.
Oh, it would have been perfect, especially James Woods, because he looks like a nervous fucking wreck no matter what.
Yeah,
always.
So, anyway, until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And your fist crushing the bones of a poser to dust.
Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you.